Welcome back to the America Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on board with us today. We're going to take your calls in just a second. A lot going on over there. 877-789-2539 is the number to call. If I could say it any faster, I would. 877-789-2539 is the number to call into the show right now. I want to get to this story. Lindsay Holligan, a former attorney for President Trump, but also you guys might remember she was the acting U.S. attorney over in the East District of Virginia. Well, according to reports, she's currently under investigation by the Florida Bar for potentially having some type of ethical violations during her time in these positions. The probe is likely about a claim that was made by the Campaign for Accountability, which alleged misconduct in her prosecutions of former FBI Director James Comey, as well as Letitia James. As many of you guys know, she did file those charges. She was pushed in that position last minute and then was shuffled over to the side. Why? Well, because they didn't want to confirm her. They didn't want those charges to stick. A rogue judge decided that those charges weren't going to stick and tossed it all out. And then they tossed her to the side too. Why? Well, because the whole political system is corrupt. And that's like the short little bit about all of this. So right now, it looks like she possibly is under investigation. The Florida Bar confirmed an ongoing investigation in a February letter stating that they were monitoring these developments closely and looking to see if there was any potential results in disbarment. That's what happens when you work in the Trump administration. They find something, they hope for the best, they try to get you stripped of your bar license so that no attorneys step up to the plate to fight these cases. That's what they do. That's what they do. So no surprise there. You know, President Trump yesterday, he caught my attention because he put up a post on Truth Social. And I thought it was quite strange. In one of the posts, he was talking about the Save America Act, and it included no transgender mutilation surgery for children without the express written approval of a parent. And that was quickly taken down. And then the after effect of all of that was just no transgender mutilation surgery for just children. Mutilation, that's how you say it. So yeah, I would say this is quite interesting. Quite interesting. I don't know what to make of it. I think, you know, a lot of us have been sitting back and watching the president, and we've seen a lot of things that are going on that are very questionable. It doesn't seem like his character. This might just be a staffer who drafted that up. But it's worth an explanation. Does he actually think that there should be child mutilation surgery done if there's a parent that consents? Because there's a lot of crazy left-wing parents out there who will brainwash their children into thinking that this is the way to act, that this is what to do, this is the right thing to do, taking up that cause. Now, I obviously strongly disagree with that. I believe children should not be forced into any of this. If you're an adult doing it, yeah, well, that's up to you. I have my personal beliefs, but my personal beliefs don't really infringe on your right to decide if you want to chop off your you know what. I don't recommend it, but it's also not my place to discuss that for you. But leave the kids alone. I'm so tired of the targeted efforts to go after these children. Obviously, a lot of these people who are leading those efforts, I believe, are pedophiles. And so there's a reason why they want to put them on puberty blockers, obviously. You'd hate for them to reach puberty and to make their own decisions. But this is what's going on in this country right now. We've got a bunch of people who are trying their very best to destroy children. That's why they're pushing the rainbow community propaganda onto them. And it's really rough. I don't know how parents do it nowadays, honestly. Especially when you're trying to keep a roof over your head, keep food on your plates, and you're over here trying to compete with the propaganda machine. So no, I would just say no child should ever have to deal with this. And I wouldn't even say, like, to me, a child is under the age of 21, because your brain really isn't fully developed, even for women after, what, 25 is when you really, all right, she's an adult. She can make her own decisions. I'm sure there's some people out there who would argue different, though. Quite debatable. But again, we need to stop this war on children. It's absolutely disgusting that they think this is acceptable. When I see these videos of what they've done to these kids and how they're pushing them to take these puberty blockers, my heart just breaks for them. The damage is irreversible, and it's absolutely disgraceful that we allow these medical experts to carry out with this. It's an absolute disgrace. All right, folks, don't go anywhere. We've got more to discuss in just a little bit. A lot happening over here. So buckle up, more to discuss with you if you're calling in.
The end of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks. You still got the big panopticon, AI. surveillance systems, all the big tech is, and they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have a conversation for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really owe it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March Mega Sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at TheAlexHomeStore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the show. The American Journal, third hour of the program kicking off. Mel Kay will join us later in the hour. And we're taking your calls right now, 877-789-2539. We've got about 20 minutes worth of calls we're going to try to dive into and go down the list. So let's get to the very first one. Let's go to Nate in Connecticut. Nate, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I just wanted to point out a couple of things, the hypocrisy between all of it. You have Kristi Noem spending $100 million or however much money it ended up being, and massive outrage about it on the Democrats, Republicans. Where's the outrage with USAID, the billions that were exposed, that taxpayers' dollars that are being wasted with that? Where's the outrage with Minnesota with the billions of dollars? Because $120 million is still a lot of money, but it's, in the grand scheme of things, nothing compared to what was being wasted with both of those things. And that's just two examples.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, you're 1,000% correct. And that's the really frustrating part with all of this. By the way, too, I think it's just off the top of my head, the Quiet Skies program that was used to illegally surveil Americans was costing us taxpayers over $100 million a year to cover. They never caught a single terrorist. It was going on for over a decade. And so we've wasted more money on that. And those on the left never had a problem with it, though, of course, Nate, but they want to sound off on this. And rightfully so, but let's be fair and balanced. Let's call it all out. So, Nate, I'm on board for that.
Yeah, I agree. And then I'll be quick. I just have one thing about the Epstein files. Mm-hmm. I think it's safe to say that, at least in my opinion, that nothing's going to end up happening with it. If they were going to do something about it, they would have done something about it. They were mm-hmm. able to round up, arrest, imprison thousands of people from January 6th, but they can't seem to get the litany of evidence that's been brought to the public already. They're not able to prosecute anybody. You have Hillary and Bill up on stage during their deposition, just fumbling through it. And that's the full extent of their punishment. That one interview is all that they're going to end up getting in terms of consequences.
Yeah.
So that's it.
Yeah. No, Nate,
it's disappointing.
Yeah. No, I don't think you're wrong on any of that, Nate. And, you know, I don't even think they really asked any good questions, to be blunt. There was a couple of decent questions, I'd say, but the core of the issue, I don't think we even scratched the surface on that. So, and there was even James Comer trying to be friendly with them too. I don't want to be friendly with the Clintons, but I guess you don't want to also be too mean because you don't want to be suicided. So I understand that. Nate, thank you for calling in. We appreciate your take on just that, of course. So thank you for calling to the show. Let's go to Helen in South Carolina. Helen, welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning, Brianna.
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm all right. I just, since you were talking about Corbyn and stuff, the other mm-hmm. day you were giving credit, a little bit of credit to Lindsey Graham. Let me warn you about Lindsey Graham. I'm calling from the state. It was something of a hearing. It was earlier in the week.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Okay.
Never give him credit because when he's close to a re-election, that's the way he always goes.
Yeah.
And then he reverts back to his scumbag ways. But I talked to my local state senator, Mike Burns, this week. And once again, the state of South Carolina is going to try and pass and change the primary rules to where Democrats can't cross over and to where he gets reelected. Because that's what keeps happening here in the state of South Carolina. And that's why we still, unfortunately, have him.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to make you aware of that. But I need to call him back and see how it's going since he... was going to introduce it on the floor earlier this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I look into that. Well, because we do that in Texas too, and I didn't know that until I got here a year ago, and I think it's absolutely awful that we do that. Yeah, I'm trying to remember what the exact Lindsey Graham.
It's terrible.
Yeah, no, there was. I remember telling you before on air. I can't remember what the clip was. I was like, oh, it's a bad day when you agree with Lindsey Graham. I know exactly what you're talking about. I just don't remember what exactly the subject was. But I know it hurt me, Helen, to say that. It hurt me because, yeah, I don't want to be on the same side of Lindsey Graham on an issue. The guy's talking about bombing Lebanon now, of course, because, you know, they're...
Yeah, he doesn't deserve it. He's just a neocon scumbag.
Yeah.
And I really hope the state of South Carolina get rid of him. And then concerning Mr. William Timmons, our congressman down here in South Carolina in Greenville County. Mm-hmm. I called him three times last year. Mm-hmm. Still to this day, no callback. And I've told his staff, I said, he's obviously not beholden to his constituents. He's obviously beholden to his donors. And he's another scumbag that South Carolina needs to get rid of. That's William Timmons.
Yeah.
Just like Lindsey Graham, Tim Scott. I don't really care for it. The only one I really like is Ralph Northam. That's about it.
You know, it's so funny, though. Like in Texas just purged out actually a lot of bad politicians. You know, we just got rid of Jasmine Crockett. You're welcome, America. We did that for you. We redrew our district map.
Oh, yeah, Jasmine Crockett and one-eyed Dan Crenshaw.
I know. And now Tony Gonzalez, too, who I always thought was a rhino. He's also being tossed. So we're doing our best to give back to America by purging those who have not done much for this country and are actively, in my opinion, trying to destroy it. But you guys in South Carolina, don't send your best. And I'm not going to bash you for this because you at least acknowledge it. Like, I'm not even a Nancy Mace fan either. I think that she does a lot of things for herself.
She's too much drama. I mean, I like her and I don't. She's too much drama.
I know. That's the problem.
I don't know.
This is why people don't want women in politicians, or in politics, I should say.
I'm a woman, and I'm sorry. A woman ain't got no business in a position like that, and I feel the same way about firefighting. I feel that's how I feel, okay?
Yeah. I don't disagree.
I'm more of a biblical girl, and that's just the way I am.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
women ain't got no business being up there. I'm sorry. That's just me.
No, you're not alone. I back that as well. But thank you for calling in. It's an enjoyable conversation. And I'm sorry, I probably gave you trauma when I agreed with Lindsey Graham. I know I didn't feel good when I did that, but I had to do it. And I don't remember why. I probably blocked that one out for a reason. Thank you for calling, Helen. I appreciate your time. Let's turn to another guest. It looks like I think he just disappeared from the call line, so I'll move on. Let's get to Andrew in New Jersey. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Yeah, I agree with the last caller. De-scumming South Carolina. It's an effort to de-scum. And speaking of Star Wars, I mean, we're going to SeaWorld. That's my wife blow-drying her hair. She looks glam for the picture. But I could connect that to Kristi Noem and sexism. But first on Kristi Noem, definitely hold her accountable. But a big difference between her and Ilhan Omar and Feeding Our Future and the fake wineries and the Leering Center, she produced a product. And also then she paid for the advertising, which is extremely, you know, outrageously expensive on network TV. That doesn't mean that there's not grift or corruption, but that's a huge difference where the leftists feeding our family, our children, and the winery, those fake, autists. So they're actually fake businesses straight up, which is even more corrupt than the mafia. Mm-hmm. So anyway, just want to make that difference. But speaking of sexism, first with Star Wars, Kathleen Kennedy, who became in charge and did The Last Jedi, she mocked men like it's like a typical schoolyard bully psychology. If you feel as a female or as a person in general that you're equal, you don't bully other people. That's what the man told me because I was complaining about the other guy mocking people. And he said it happens to be a black gay man that told me this. I don't know if it's relevant, but he said, you feel confident in yourself, so you don't feel the need to mock others. So when you watch The Last Jedi and others like that, they don't just put women like you, like that are smart and powerful. They mock the men. You know, they scale down and they make the men subservient and more, you know, emotionally unstable and dangerous and dumber. So that shows that she doesn't have confidence. And I came up with the term for Kristi Noem. It's a self-imposed sexism. I was shocked when I saw a commercial It was something of her promoting, like, trade jobs or something in her state. And she was posing in these different outfits, like a plumber, an electrician. And it wasn't even a satire. Like, it was lighthearted, but it was still serious. And I was just like, this is sexism. You don't judge women on their appearance. And you're supposed to fight against that. And she's wearing all these outfits with all the heavy makeup and the flattering lighting. Not like lighting Megyn Kelly used when she interviewed Alex Jones. But I was just like, you're supposed to not be judged on your, especially when you're a governor. It's not like a fashion model or, you know, so in her in front of the Mount Rushmore, that alone, she should be fired and she shouldn't have any other position in the Trump administration. But that's my last thought on Kristi Noem. Now we're heading to SeaWorld.
Well, have fun at SeaWorld, Andrew. I'm sure it's going to be great. And, you know, this is why I don't run for office. I actually want nothing to do with politics because I'm all about my lighting. In fact, I demand nothing but the best. I'm a little bit of a diva around the office and everyone knows that. So I require the most perfect lighting. And so I could have a little empathy with Kristi Noem in that sense. But that's why I don't run for office. I don't want to be a politician. I just want to, you know, stand here and look pretty. Andrew, thank you for calling in as always. Enjoy SeaWorld, my friend. Let's get to another caller. Duke in Oklahoma City. Welcome to the show.
How are you today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I just watched an interview with Kevin Stitt. I just want to talk about how things are so scripted, and you can tell because as soon as Mark Mullins got in office, Kevin Stitt came out and said that he would be a perfect fit for the job because he's from Oklahoma, and Oklahoma is a model state for immigration control. And that's not true at all because over three quarters of the businesses have been bought up by foreigners who do not hire native Oklahomans. So, I mean, we have a major issue here, and this is all being scripted. And we're not getting anywhere on the care, all that. The media is controlling all this. Mm-hmm. Okay, they control the narrative. People watch TV. They believe there's truth involved in the media narrative, and it's all scripted. Everything is scripted. I mean, I don't know how we get control of the narrative when people are so brainwashed to believe that the government still is trying to help them when we know that's not the case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how you get around it. I mean, there's a lot of people I try to talk some sense into them, Duke, and unfortunately it doesn't really work out. I think a lot of people, it's safer to believe that your government's working for you rather than digging into the truth and finding out that that's actually not the case. So, mm-hmm. You know, I think people just want to live happy, quiet lives and don't want to have to deal with the stress that, you know, I constantly have to deal with. I mean, I'm constantly just so infuriated, so angry when I see all the corruption, when I see what they're doing against the will of the American people. And so I think people would just rather look the other way on that and not believe it's being carried through. Duke, thank you for calling in. Yeah, we're going to see how the Mullen stuff goes. I know the 31st is going to be the start date, I believe, for him. And we'll look to see if he makes it through his confirmation hearing and what comes of that. But it's going to be interesting to sit back and watch. So that's that. Let's get to another caller. Savage Dog's on the line from Georgia. Savage Dog, welcome back.
Hey, how you doing, Brianna?
Good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Had to go to the emergency room and got my first ever dose of morphine. That was not fun. I don't see how people get addicted to that crap.
You okay?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine.
Okay, good.
It was just a thing that the VA was going to take forever to do, and they said, well, I got a two-hour drive to get to my local VA hospital, so I said, let's do it locally and just put you in the emergency room. But anyway, My call, I just looked on Grok, and I should have done this before calling her off so I wouldn't have called. I thought that Texas had the right to divide into five different states if they wanted to. And according to Grok, they can, but it would still require a federal congressional approval to do so. And I thought that would just be fun to, for Texas to say, you know what, let's just turn into five different Texas states and add 10 or eight more senators.
I would love it.
That would cook the Democrats up really well.
Well, you give them their DC. They've been fighting for DC, for statehood for DC. Maybe we'll agree. We'll give you that.
Yeah. Yeah, you can have your two little hoo-has in D.C., and you can have your two little hoo-has in Puerto Rico. But now we're going to have Cuba. We'll have our two there. And we'll have Greenland. That'll give us two. And I don't know what's next. Who's next? Who else wants to be America?
Don't you dare say Canada, because I'm staying far away. People make the argument, make me cringe. I don't want Canadians to become Americans. We need stronger border security. I'd say maybe stronger border security on the Canadian-U.S. border than the southern one at this point, just because I don't want them crossing in. Savage dog.
Hey, that being said, Alberta's trying to break away from Canada, and we'll take Albertans. They're conservative. They'd love to be America.
They hate. I don't know. Savage dog, my big beef with Canada would be that they've been lying to us for years now about Canadian bacon. It's not bacon, it's ham. And the fact that they haven't let up on that, to me, I can't sit there and listen to these Canadians anymore. I don't respect them for it. Leave us alone. Yeah. Give us real bacon.
Yeah, but that was still a really good movie with John Candy, Rhea Perlman, and et cetera, Alan Alda. It was so funny.
I know.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. We have ways to make you pronounce about.
Savage Dog, thank you for calling into the show. It's always an honor to talk to you, and I hope you're feeling better.
Have a happy Friday, a happy weekend. It's just a Friday phone call.
Yes. You too, my friend. Thank you for calling in. Let's get to Chad in Minnesota. Chad, I hear it's actually the perfect pivot, too. I hear you want to talk about veteran health care. So welcome to the show.
Good morning, Brianna.
Good morning.
Yeah, calling in regards to Mark Lucas and specifically yesterday. Oh, and by the way, I'd like to get this out there that I agree with you, and I echo your sentiments from your opening of yesterday's show. Mm-hmm. I think it's justified where you said we're at. So, I appreciate you making it loud and clear.
Thank you.
To the topic, are you familiar with HBOT or hyperbaric oxygen therapy?
No. Mm-mm. I think I've heard Mark Lucas though talk about it, if I'm not mistaken, though.
Yeah, maybe he has and I missed it. But in case he hasn't, there's a bill in Congress. H.R. 1336. It's called the Veterans National Traumatic Brain Injury Treatment Act. Rep. Gregory Murphy, North Carolina. And the overall benefits. And Mark's call yesterday it hit me. Just to hear, again, to be reminded, on an average, the numbers out there of 17 veterans a day committing suicide. Yeah. And mainly this one is, for PTSD and traumatic brain injury. Mm-hmm. And just basically getting the VA, the department, VA to actually offer this as treatments, because the studies out there are phenomenal. There's several studies. Most of them all indicate within a 4-week period that it is a dramatic turnaround. Mm-hmm. With just PTSD. It's sitting there, but it's obvious that, the information out there, the studies, and it's proven. I was introduced to it by a basically a doctor of osteopathic medicine out of Okoboji, Iowa. His name is Dr. Meyer, and he actually had gone through quite a bit himself, and he has his own outfit that offers HBOT or HBOT. And, just to name a few, there's head injuries, there's recent past concussions, traumatic brain injuries, migraine headaches, Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's disease, multiple sclerosis, Huntington's disease. It goes on and on and on. And I think that, to hear, again, what Mark had said, and specifically the story about the two recent or somewhat recent that, killed himself at the, San Antonio hospital or committed suicide, this is important. And these types of treatments need to get out there, and they need to be offered to our veterans. Number one, our veterans. Mm-hmm. And I hope that this gets passed because, like I said, And it goes in, what it does is it goes in and it actually, it pressurizes your body. It forces oxygen into the bloodstream And then what that does is it actually fills holes that have been caused by certain things, but it kind of reprograms your brain as well. Mm-hmm. So again, this is something we need for our veterans, you know, that have been affected for PTSD and traumatic brain injuries.
Yeah. Well, Chad, thanks for sharing that. No, it's on my radar too. And that's really important. I've got a friend who works with veterans and tries to help them with retreats and tries to help them out when they're dealing with PTSD and depression. And I'm pretty sure he also does this as well. He does a lot of really cool things for vets. Sean Rosario, he does a great job. So this is definitely something on my radar. And I'm sure Mark also has it on his radar. I will reach out to him to make sure, though, and to see if he wants to come on and talk about it too as well, because it's an important discussion to be had. Chad, thank you for joining the show. Thank you for calling in. We appreciate it. Let's get to Lester in West Virginia. Lester, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Brianna.
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, that comment you made earlier, you get, you just stand around and look pretty. You should be getting paid megabucks for that because you do it the best.
Lester, you are my guy. I knew when I was going to answer this call that you were going to be my favorite one of the day, so thank you.
Well, I'm glad you did because, man, I don't support troops on the ground over there in Iran. I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
Strikes are okay. I'm saying let's drop them some ammunition, some guns, some weapons, and just skin out, you know, after a couple of weeks. That's all we need to do. We got two big things here in this hemisphere to focus on, and that's Mexico and Cuba. They're putting weapons of mass destruction in this country with fentanyl. So we need to change those narco governments over. That will directly affect us, not Iran.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's a lot of people who feel, I teeter back and forth with all of this because obviously, you know, I know Lester, you call in often, but you know how I feel about obviously Islamic terrorism. I do deem it as a threat, but I'm still waiting to see why now. And boots on the ground, I would never support that either. It sounds like this administration says that they don't support those efforts. But again, then we're hearing reports that I know it's CIA, so it's separate from our military. But then you got the reports that came out from CNN that the CIA is handing off guns to those on the ground in the region as well. I know the Kurds too. So it's just such a mess. And anytime we're in the Middle East, I think we try to play hero too much in the Middle East. And I just don't see it ever working out in our favor at all. And, you know, I'm still waiting to see what more might come out. Again, this is the problem because we don't have all the information. And they're asking us to trust our elected officials, to trust the Secretary of War, who I think obviously understands war better than anyone. And I do think he is still the best pick to run the Pentagon. But it's a lot of trust that the American people don't have. I really don't have it. I lost trust in our government. And so that's where I stand on all these issues. And it's not that I think that they might be lying to us. I just never know where the intel is coming from. People intentionally trying to sabotage them. So there's always that to also keep in mind. Lester, thank you for calling in. Thank you for everyone who called in right now. Sadly, we're up against a hard out here because we're expecting to have Mel Kay on the program in just a moment. But thank you for those who did call into the show. By the way, the president will be meeting with the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, today in a closed-door meeting in the Oval Office at 2:30 p.m. Eastern time. So we'll keep our eye on that. In the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. It's the March mega sale going on right now. It is up to 40% off on some of your favorite supplements over at thealexjonesstore.com. So make sure you check it out before we run out over at thealexjonesstore.com.
End of the old order is coming. There's a lot of jockeying by some of the same power groups to be in control in the future. But you still got the central banks, you still got the big panopticon, AI, surveillance systems, all the big tech is. And they're still going to try to stay in control. But because they're exposed, it's going to get harder.
I'd like to have Dodge for now.
And harder and harder. I haven't plugged yet today because the news has been so incredibly hardcore. But the products really are amazing, and that's how we fund our operations. So I need your support. We have a flash weekend sale today through Monday, March 9th, 50% off methylene blue capsules. It's the very same high-quality methylene blue that's in the tincture. 50% off that when you buy ultramethylene blue tincture. Again, the pills are great for travel. It's the best methylene blue out there. You really know it to yourself. Tommy Robbins was blown away by it yesterday here in studio. And we have the March mega sale, 40% off on NAD, Ultimate Burn, Life Force CMOS, methylene blue tincture, and more. Take advantage of that right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
We've got to get to a point where we are self-sufficient again, Texas. And when it comes to health, also food, our food needs to be clean, number one. It just needs to be clean. And
Florida has pointed out, put that back on screen, all these major brands have got, like, you know, hundreds of times the glyphosate you should add.
Glyphosate.
Absolutely. Well, your doctor tells us what that does.
Oh, this is gonna change your brain. This is going to set you up.
It erases your blood-brain barrier.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really an accelerant or an adjuvant. Absolutely. To everything in there. Explain that.
It destroys the blood-brain barrier. So that's a protective thing that happens between the cerebral spinal fluid and your fluids inside the brain and the things that attack it from the outside. Once that barrier is depleted, then it's subject to all kinds of heavy metals, things that get sprayed from the sky, right? Barium, aluminum, all these things that it protects you from. Why methylene blue works? It does. It counters that. It's.
Oh, let me ask you that. 45 minutes in, you feel it, Doc?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Be honest though, you got your own special brand. Is this good or what?
No, this is the same effect I'm getting, but it feels right. Yeah, it feels right. Yeah, it's a little easier to take.
By easier, what do you mean compared
just
to
just the way it feels, you know, just going down, drinking it. But it's
so this one tastes better, but it's as good as the one your doctor gave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, so your doctor must have a good one.
We'll see. We'll go down the road a little ways, I'll text you.
Guys, get him a couple bottles of this. I need Doc Chambers endorsing this.
I'm not getting it for free, but I'll definitely help.
No, you're getting it down. Come on. Free your it's amazing.
Hey, this is Doc Chambers here. I'm out in the field right now. Day off from the campaign trail, doing some work. I got things to catch up on, so it's called a refit day. But I'm getting refit with Alex Jones's methylene blue. It's pretty good, I gotta say. I've been using it on the road since we left the studios, and I've been taking it for a while. I had a traumatic brain injury in Iraq in 2004. There's been a lot of studies out there that show that with post-dementia patients and TBI patients, it's just been used for years. It's just not very well known. With regard to demyelination, what it can do to improve your cognition. So that's your brain. Your brain housing these stuff. Hey, thanks, Alex. Appreciate you. We're going to stay on it.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at thealexshowstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If it matters to America, it matters here. This is The American Journal with Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to The American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. Happy Friday, everyone. Final lap of the third hour of the program, and a lot happening here. You know, I kind of want to focus in a little bit on the main issue here in Texas, a lot of people, and it's so crazy to me because, again, I mean, we've played the interview. We had Tommy Robinson here, and he's taking a tour of Texas right now. But, you know, he's going around, he's meeting the people, and he said, you know, the difference between the UK and Texas is that you guys are willing to confront your issues. You're actually willing to say it out loud that you don't want a bunch of Islamists moving into your communities and then transforming your communities through Sharia law or Sharia. I keep doing that. It's Sharia, folks. They brainwashed me. But it's a big issue here. And I think it's so amazing that we do have lawmakers now speaking about the issue. Again, they're very, very late to the game, and I'm not going to let up on that. But I mean, we've got 46 members of Congress now speaking out about the issue, and they seem to be fearless, constantly combing over and trying to gain other supporters and bring them in on their efforts. There's one individual, and I mentioned it with Dinesh D'Souza. It's actually his son-in-law. It's Congressman Brandon Gill, and he's done an incredible, incredible job here in the state of Texas, fighting back. And he's fearless. He's fearless on this issue. I want to listen in on clip 10 and his opinion on just preventing the Islamification of Texas. Take a listen.
I would rather preserve the America that we know and love so that my daughter and my son can grow up in that country, as opposed to growing up in a world where they go to the mall in Dallas, Texas, and you see 90% of the people wearing burkas and speaking foreign languages.
All right. So that's the soundbite there. And, you know, it's so crazy to me that it has to be said. That's common sense, folks. Common sense. Common sense. Common sense. I want to get to clip 9 real quick before we bring Mel in. Let's play that clip.
Start with a visual aid. This is the Homeland Security Advisory Council Countering Violent Extremism Subcommittee Interim Report for 2016. My colleague referred to it earlier as suggesting that we should refrain from using words like Ummah or Jihad or Sharia. I would like to also show you another visual aid, and this is what is called the Words Matter Memo that was published in January of 2008.
All right, let's jump out of this because this isn't the soundbite we were calling for. Let's go to Mel Kay right now because Mel Kay is here today. She's the host of the Mel Kay Show and author of the book Americans Anonymous. It's a great book. You got to go grab it right now over on Amazon. And again, if you don't follow her on Rumble, I don't know why you don't. She does a great job every single day on her show, The Mel Kay Show. And she does some really cool Q&As as well. Mel, welcome to the show. You know, we were just playing a clip before you jumped on with us of Congressman Brandon Gill. And Congressman Brandon Gill is sounding off because he doesn't like to watch Texas get transformed into this Islamic state right now. He's watching it, and he's in the DFW area, so he sees it firsthand, and he's watching as individuals who don't want to assimilate to the American way of life are jumping on board and trying to transform the state. Your reaction to how brave it is to see a member of Congress speaking out on this issue, because, you know, we had Tommy Robinson here. He said that's the difference between Texas and you know, the rest of the world. They were too afraid to come out and speak out on these issues. What do you think of this?
Right. Well, first of all, as you know, this has been going on a very long time. And that clip you were going to play, though it was the wrong one, Phil Haney is one of the people that sounded the alarm. There were many heroes that tried, particularly during Obama's years. Haney was the person from DHS who was basically the whistleblower who told the country that Barack Obama and his administration had them erase all of the counterintelligence work they had been doing since 9/11, basically because of Islamophobia. They had changed everything. Hillary Clinton went to the UN and then they came back. And next thing you know, they're erasing so much about anything Muslim Brotherhood, anything Islamic, under the guise of that it was Islamophobia and it was passing this thing. So essentially, Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton rolled out the red carpet. And we know what happened after that. Of course, Hillary Clinton's intern, who later became her aide and then was married, obviously, to Anthony Weiner, Uma Abedin, she comes from a family that worked for the Muslim Brotherhood. And then she comes in with Hillary Clinton. We have Obama come in and hold her. But of course, Valerie Jarrett is also, she's from Iran, but she rolled out the red carpet too. So as soon as Obama came in, essentially anything that brought up Islam, the Muslim Brotherhood, or, you know, anything of that nature was basically off limits. So all of the counterintelligence that was done before that basically went into the memory hole. At the same time, we have to remember that Barack Obama was very involved in having the Muslim Brotherhood and CARE to the White House under the guise of religious freedom and much of this stuff. By the time Donald Trump came in, it was embedded all over the country. And a very brave man on his first term, Rich Higgins, wrote a very famous memo that is now out there and was made into a book. Unfortunately, Rich Higgins isn't here anymore. He has passed away. But what he was saying was that there was an alliance, which we're watching now, the Red-Green Alliance, working from within America to take us down. We also, you know, talk about the Holy Land Foundation. Well, CARE and a bunch of the other groups that have been allowed to flourish since the early 2000s essentially had free reign. Now, another thing that we should also all know about is that for some reason, our country is allowing Sharia banking. This is another way of having Sharia come into America without it being very overt, kind of a covert way to do that. But again, this started really picking up steam under Obama. And we know what Obama did when he went to Cairo and apologized for everything that we ever did to, even after 9/11, everything we ever did to the Islamic world. And then Barack Obama was part of a regime change operation over there in Egypt that blew up in his face and ended up getting the Muslim Brotherhood banned. But that was Barack Obama. So what we really have to look at is all the tentacles that have been allowed to flourish: Sharia banking, Sharia courts, Sharia only communities. And it's all tied together with the money, because the Sharia banking situation is basically in our own institutions. I believe Citibank has one. I'm pretty sure Goldman Sachs. I think a lot of these big banking institutions have the Sharia separate banking, because Sharia, I guess, bans a lot of what they consider sinful investments, but they also have a Sharia compliance like group that has to go through all the investments and decide what is halal, what is not, what is, you know, able to be invested in. But at the same time, they don't believe in interest or the same banking as us. So there's a Sharia compliant group at all of these banks that decide. But 2 to 3% of every investment, which is now estimated to be about $7 trillion in Sharia banking, goes to Muslim groups, including CARE and the Muslim Student Association and all these groups. So our banking system is allowing this to flourish financially. Our real estate system, or our real estate, adjusters are allowing this unconstitutional Sharia-only, Muslim-only communities to be built all over the country. And at the same time, everyone's denying that Islam is a political movement, not a should not be protected under the freedom of religion. That's not what we're dealing with here. So there's a lot of confusion, but it was really put in place when Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton came into the State Department and the presidency. And from then on, essentially, you turn the other way if anything was said or done or there were questions. You were not allowed to talk about Islam, Sharia, Muslim Brotherhood until Trump came in. And of course, we know what happened then.
Well, and Mel, I was going to ask too, because I was going through the website. Is this banking system they have set up, is it FDIC insured? Wouldn't that be a way for them to go after it?
It's very unclear if it is FDIC insured, but it is not compatible with U.S. banking at all. Mm-hmm. And the idea that there's a Sharia compliance group made up of Sharia scholars in the Sharia banking institutions in America should signal an alarm. And we're not talking about a little bit of money. We're talking about trillions of dollars that are going through the Sharia banking system. So, I mean, and they're allowing it because all the big banks on Wall Street essentially have a Sharia division, and Sharia lines up pretty well. People wonder about the globalists and the red green axis and all of that, but Sharia compliance lines up very well with ESG scores as well. Mm-hmm. You know, do have to start holding Wall Street accountable. I mean, just like I told you last week, the amount of criminality that JP Morgan has gotten away with by paying fines over the decades, not to mention just, you know, Epstein and Madoff and the 2008 crash and this and that. This is also something being facilitated by Wall Street and by the banking system and the very corrupt banking system for decades now. You know, we have the whole situation with Larry Summers, who was obviously Treasury under Clinton, and then the economic advisor under Obama. And then you go through it and you see Geithner and all these different people. They're facilitating a lot of the crime in America, because the easiest way to fight back against this infiltration is to end the money. And we're not even seeing that happen with the People's Forum right now that are funding all the things on the street in tandem with Singham and his wife, Code Pink. We're not seeing anything going into all of the money that has gone into terrorist organizations that are marching in the streets here by the Open Society. And of course, Uma Abedin is now married to George Soros' son. So that's a problem. It's just, we're turning a blind eye where we could actually make a difference. And where we can actually make a difference is in the money flow, the checking where the money is going, obviously. And, you know, I don't know if you know, yesterday, you know, DeSantis and Abbott have called CARE and Muslim Brotherhood terrorist organizations in their states, which they have the ability to do. Well, an Obama judge is blocking it in Florida, we found out today. I'm sure that's going to happen in Texas as well. So again, if we're not going to deal with CARE and the Muslim Brotherhood as we should, then this is just going to continue unabated. $7 trillion is a lot of money, and it's being spread around the world. But the institutions in America that are participating in Sharia banking are 100% complicit in this happening.
Yeah, and you know, you're talking about this issue, and it's also Amy Mack, who's done extensive coverage over at the RARE Foundation as well. And it's so crazy to me. Yeah, she's great, you're great, but this is like one of the main issues that needs to be looked into. And you know, you're mentioning the ruling that came in Florida, another Obama-appointed judge, of course. No surprise there. But you know, I'd love to see this make its way over to the Supreme Court, because once that happens, I think so many more, well, other states will be more willing to jump on board with declaring CARE and the Muslim Brotherhood as terrorism groups. And I think that's really should be a top priority. So that'd be interesting to see play out. I want to pivot a little bit, though, because I thought this was really interesting. We were told weeks ago that the DOJ released everything to the American people regarding the Epstein files. But it looks like earlier this week, they actually said, oh, we've got about 47,000, a little more than 47,000 more documents to dump out into the web. But that's because a lot of people called them out and said, wait a minute, we didn't get everything. There's new accusations, of course, that had no actual factual base to it against President Trump as well, that were put out into the web regarding claims that there was a child who says that they were assaulted by President Trump. Again, it just, they keep throwing his name out there so that he's wrapped up into the Epstein files. But when the DOJ talks about all the files being released and then they find a stack of 47,000 plus more, it's really hard for the American people to sit there and think, all right, this is a credible institution at this point that has been changed and reformed by Pam Bondi. I mean, how much longer would it keep putting up with this?
I don't know. I was really disappointed yesterday. First, I heard the auto pen was that they weren't going to pursue that, which is a gigantic thing to pursue because of the pardons and the January 6th committee. I'm not sure what's going on there, but people are very, very upset about the lack of taking seriously a lot of what is happening and what the American people voted for, which is accountability across the board. As for the Epstein case, believe me, there's far more out there, including many, you know, I live down here in Palm Beach. I know that there are storage lockers all over where he had things moved to long ago that must be known about. We also know that the FBI stepped in and stopped the investigation now, we know, into Zorro Ranch, which is completely unacceptable and ridiculous. And even worse than that, a lot of these people that were involved are still in the DOJ and FBI. And don't forget, this has gone on for decades now, and there's plenty of evidence all the way back to the 80s and 90s of Jeffrey Epstein. And it seems like what we are getting is dribs and drabs. Now, as far as President Trump, there are only 47 documents in all of this that even mention him. And the accusation that was put in against him after he was president, after the whole Me Too, Women's March, all of that, is completely not credible. But they will use it like Ted Lieu and all these other people, and they use it and they have some kind of immunity. They can say whatever they want. But Donald Trump, I believe, really does want everything out there. But we have to remember the highest level here. Again, I say this, as I said it before, is the banking system. It is unacceptable that J.P. Morgan Chase was involved with him for 30 years. We know that somebody was going to come in and testify that J.P. Morgan went back in after he was arrested and corrected what was, I guess, 49 suspicious activity reports. And they readjusted it to about 4,500 over 20 years. There's 17 people that were involved with him, including, of course, Kathy Brumler, who apparently is going to be called in. But that was Obama's right hand. We also have Obama's right hand in the Economic Council, Larry Summers, involved. We also have a lot of this coming out. So how they've gone about this has been, I think, a disaster. But at the same time, the more we know, the better. But again, we also find out, as you and I have covered for years, a lot of stuff was untrackable and untraceable to anyone. And if you didn't know how they spelled names, or you remember they spelled Comey Corny, and they spelled, and a lot of them had different names that they were using. So what is going on here is a cover up, but it's not by the Trump administration. This is in the Southern District of New York, in the FBI of New York field office. And as you know, Comey was at the at Southern District of New York. He leaves and goes to D.C. His daughter comes in. She handles all these cases, the Maxwell case, the Diddy case, all of this. And basically the judge there is blocking stuff. So the Southern District of New York and the New York field office for the FBI are where all eyes should be, including and especially for the Wiener laptop. So whatever's going on, we know that there's things being held back, and I'm glad we got the Epstein files. But I really think that the most important thing we should find out is where is the Wiener laptop, and then look at them together. And again, both Clintons lied to Comer and his group. So will they be held accountable? Who knows? It doesn't seem like it to me, but we will see ahead.
Yeah, you could add that to the list, though, because we're still waiting for Seth Rich's laptop to be made public. The FBI was court ordered to do that. And again, they're just leaving it on ice right now. So there's that.
And why?
Too.
Why? Yeah. Who are they protecting? Hillary Clinton still? Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. And, you know, they didn't like the conspiracy. That's how they always worded it. They didn't like the conspiracies, but they refused to be transparent. And the conspiracies wouldn't exist if transparency was there. And that's the issue with all of this. And you know, we're willing to listen. We're willing to look at all of this and see the evidence for ourselves. But again, the FBI is obviously holding it up for a reason. I mean, there has to be a motive behind it. Otherwise, there'd be no purpose to any of this. It's been dragged on for years now, and it's a battle that's still ongoing. And by the way, Mel, you mentioned Ted Lieu. I have a little confession. I didn't even know that Ted Lieu was a sitting member of Congress. I thought he was a troll account on Twitter, and I had no idea one day until like I saw him at a congressional hearing. I'm like, wait a minute, hold on a second. That's a real person? I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. He was my representative in California. And don't forget, he of course, is Adam Schiff's best pal. So you get what you get with Ted Lieu. But a lot of these people, you know, they really are distracting everyone. It's making people angry. And right now, the thing I'm worried about the most for the midterms is apathy and anger, getting so many people upset about no accountability that we have a low turnout. And the worst thing that could possibly happen is in the midterms, this get handed over. Because right now, the Democrat Socialist of America, which should be banned in America, it is a globally funded Marxist revolutionary group running as Democrats. But they are the big head of the Democratic Party now. And if the pendulum swings, we are going to get impeachments and arrests and everything within weeks of them taking the position. And we will see how slow and obviously unable to move forward the DOJ and FBI has been under the administration. And they will be completely hampered after that. So we got to get in gear for 2026. And remember, there's life after Trump. So if anyone's still voting to or because they love him or they hate him, then they're just depriving themselves of their own choices, because this has nothing to do with Trump. It has to do with the direction of America and the future of this country and the world. And if anyone is voting because of Trump, they are out of their minds and really don't understand the stakes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was one thing too. We had a caller call in who wanted me to dispute people who say, oh, I'm not going to vote. I shouldn't vote. And that's not the case. You got to vote, especially
not
in your local
this
elections.
Time.
Yeah, that's the problem. That's the problem. Yeah. A lot's on the line here. I want to get to this because this is kind of breaking news that happened just a few moments ago. I think it was a little over an hour ago. Chairman of the J6 subcommittee, Barry Loudermill, came out and he has now issued a criminal referral to the DOJ for charges to be filed against former White House aide Cassidy Hutchinson. Now, obviously, the American people are well-versed in the fact that we believe that she lied in front of Congress. Now, this criminal referral is co-signed by Jim Jordan as well. Do you have any reaction to this one? Because, of course, it's common sense that she was not being honest with the American people when she decided to testify, and she fed into the false narrative that the J6 committee was looking to spin under Democrat control. Your reaction to the news that she's been criminally referred to the DOJ?
Well, first of all, this is also in tandem with the AutoPen investigation that pardoned the January 6th committee as well, because, of course, her interactions with Cheney should be scrutinized and lead to charges against Liz Cheney. But if they don't deal with the AutoPen and the pardons and all of that, that won't happen. She is a disgrace. But as you know, the process seems to be if you do something for the Democrats, you get a book deal. So people should also look into why she got a book deal, how she got a book deal. And who paid for that, who facilitated that, because you've seen this happen over and over with people that come out from the left, be it Miles Taylor or, you know, Trump, Mary Trump or any of these people. They write like hit piece books and get big payoffs, and they go in front of the cameras or testify under oath falsely. And that seems to me to be a payoff in the Democratic side. A book deal is a payoff. So there's a lot there with her. I believe she should go to jail. We have to start making an example. But under this circumstances, it is far bigger than just lying under oath. It is being complicit in a conspiracy to defraud the people of the United States of America with multiple investigations that cost us a lot of money, taxpayer money, and we're all fraudulent just to destroy the MAGA movement.
Yeah, and you know, you bring up the AutoPen scandal too. I tried to do some digging. The DOJ, when I reach out to request more information on the NBC report that says that it's on the shelf right now, that they're not really doing any movement on that, the DOJ told me to just refer to a comment that was given by Judge Pirro, the U.S. attorney in D.C., and that comment just saying that she can't comment on ongoing investigations, which is honestly a deflection more so, but she is trying to be a little snarky there, I feel like. And when I was asking people internally over at the DOJ, what's the status and all of that, I was told, too, that the NBC report was accurate and it has been put on ice. But they also told me that there was three separate investigations going on in regards to AutoPen. And as from what they could tell, that all three have been stonewalled. But we also know that the weaponization group in the DOJ was one of the leaders behind the investigation. And we saw that was also ended. And I haven't seen really President Trump
pushback. Here's the question. But the question is it ended because that D.C. circuit court and the people that are training people to get on juries and ruin cases for that are against the Democrats? Is it that court? Because that court in D.C., the Boasberg court, actually is controlled by Congress, and it could be shut down by Congress. Of course, that's not going to happen. But what I'm hearing is that they're not getting indictments and grand juries because they have these NGOs that are training people to not only get on juries, but to destroy the cases for them. And if this is about the court there, we got to deal with the court. They won't even impeach Boasberg. He's been involved in everything since the beginning of Russiagate. And all those judges there, the ones that were January 6th judges and other ones, they're still there. And if that is why we're not getting justice, somebody has to address that court in D.C. It's not even, it could totally be shut down, and it should be. They are only there for good behavior. There has been example after example of horrible and biased behavior in that court. And if Jeanine Pirro, that's the court she argues in front of, if she is not able to go forward with these investigations because of that court, and we see so much criminality, something has to be done. You can't wear a black robe and be above everyone else. That's not what the judicial system is about.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's not what it's about. And we'll see how it all plays out. Mel Kay, you do a great job hosting the Mel Kay Show over on Rumble. Give it a follow, and give her a follow on X as well, too. You're one of the very few who speak truth to power, and you got all the government documents to back it up. And so that's why I'm very proud to call you my friend. So thank you, Mel, for joining the show today. We appreciate you.
Thank you. I appreciate it so much. We'll see you next time.
Yes, we'll see her next Friday. She also got the book Americans Anonymous, which gives you the power, you the people, the power to fix these corrupt issues happening on the local levels. You got to do it. You got to get that book right now. Right now. It's over on Amazon. All right, folks, that does it for me. Have a great weekend. The Alex Jones Show is next, though. In the meantime, head on over to the Alex Jones store. I'm trying to say it fast. Mega March sale going on right now over at the alexjonesstore.com.
As InfoWars not delivered. In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the InfoWar continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for team humanity, against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our bovine colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you can become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it recurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. special deals, special offers, and with one click in your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealchostore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealchostore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet, up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats, 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at thealchoststore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. I'm going to salute you and thank you. Take action now.